Well, this one white kid pulls out a gun, says, fuck you. And he walks right up to me and holds the gun to my head.
Oh, okay.
I have visions of someone doing that to me. I go, shoot me, motherfucker.
Not me. I was like a comedian. I said, hey, there's no problem here. I'm out of here.
Like, so, like a comedian?
Well, I'm trying to de-escalate.
Hey, how you guys doing here? Everybody having a good time?
Posit something, Dylan, that possibly people besides you are all around communicating all the time, but only do you notice it when it serves some sort of inconvenience to you.
You think that's happening?
I'm starting to feel like you are getting over your addiction to silver linings. It's a beautiful thing to see.
You know what? All right, Dylan, this is what's happening to you today. You got out of the house a little late. You were running late. It was your fault. And now you're mad at traffic. All right. So if you had left the house on time, I'm giving this as an analogy.
Sure. Cause that didn't happen.
So yeah. So you're frustrated. Like, whoa, you want to get things done. And now people are in your way of trying to get it done in the time that you would like to get it done. But the world does not work on your timeline, Dylan.
Yeah.
Okay. If I could share a personal story where one time it was at Rite Aid.
Before you do that, there are social contracts that we enter in with one another, right? In public spaces and public arenas and spheres. And some people just get them fucking wrong.
I agree.
And it seems as though once we've come out of this quarantine, people are failing left and right and left and right at that.
I've seen some TV and some articles about how this tweaked people, and now they're coming out here. They have to relearn how to interact with other human beings.
I have friends that I'm like not speaking to anymore. How did the pandemic affect people this badly?
Well, it wasn't just a pandemic. It was a political year too. I mean, if we're going to be serious.
Even if it's a political year, if somebody died, I get it. You had a rough year, but other than that, what, did you sit in pajamas and gain 15
nail
pounds?
An EDD
figure
check.
It the fuck out. Why are we yucking it up with strangers when there's 15 people in line? Get Extreme Ownership down. I don't need it. I am addicted to silver linings. What happened at Rite Aid?
Okay, so this was like 10 years back. Now, this is before I decided to be a breeder. I was never going to be a breeder, so I hated little children. They were very annoying to me.
Yeah, for new listeners, that's Pat's like Orwellian really fucked up term for, I don't know, having children.
Children, yeah. So then these, if my memory serves me correct, it was probably a young mom. She's like 28 years old. She's got a little 4-year-old and they're in line and they're talking to the cashier and they start yucking it up.
Yeah.
And they're just like, how old is she? And they're like playing with each other. And there's an older man, probably like 85 years old. You know, he's real blue hair in front of me.
Yeah.
And I can tell with his body, he's not enjoying 2 minutes of this while he wants to buy his newspaper or what have
you. Sure. Yeah.
All right. So
these last 2 minutes,
he's got but he's got to go smoke a cigar and yell at minorities to get off his block.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm kind of enjoying this, seeing his frustration, even though I'd like to get the fuck out of there. And there is, in fact, a social contract that says you only get 2 minutes of this, not five. So the cashier gives the little girl a lollipop. And then the mom says, oh, she actually likes strawberry. So then it goes back to the cashier and then she goes, oh, you like strawberry? And then she pulls it off the shelf and then she hands her the strawberry. And then the old man said, oh, come on. And then the cashier was shocked by this.
Right.
Sir, have patience, please. You've been talking the whole time.
Yeah. Also, that bitch should be fired for giving out free merchandise.
Maybe she was paying. Maybe it was kind of coming out of her pocket. But that was definitely frustration. And then it got me thinking, like, hey, you're 85. You don't have a job you're showing up to. You're just going home to eat a bowl of cereal and yell at the television.
You know, all these things like, oh, life's not that bad. This isn't that big of a deal. We're not trying to cure cancer. Enough with that. There are social contracts that we have to fucking sign in blood. And when you break them, I'm not saying you should be hanged, but pretty close to it, maybe drawn and not quartered, just drawn.
I had something today. I'm walking down Santa Monica Boulevard and I'm just kind of looking around, seeing people aren't wearing masks, which made me kind of happy walking.
Yeah, yeah.
I start feeling the back. Well, first off, I hear a guy, a voice. I work from home, so I'm not really worried about anything. I can be anywhere. Like, I can hear him catching it. Before I know it, he's right on my back and he's got a dog and he's on the cell phone.
He
actually grazes my back and then scurries around me and then shakes his head in frustration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't have earbuds. earbuds in. I could hear you, pal. It's a sidewalk. You got a fucking dog. You're on the phone. Either take your patience as you're walking behind me or find another part of the sidewalk and go around me. Don't be frustrated by me because I'm not moving at your speed.
You're a self-important, oblivious lemming and you should kill yourself now.
Well, then I listened to this podcast yesterday that said it talked about the chemistry of these interactions we have with people where the anger comes in and then it fuels that testosterone and then this juice that gives you a little anger where you want to fight. They said, wait it out 90 seconds. You'll dispense that juice that's flowing through your
adrenaline?
Body.
Yeah.
Adrenaline. Take a breath. It's that and it's something else, some other chemistry thing.
Yeah.
And I did it and I was still angry in my car. I was like, I wish I punched his head.
I was going to say, I need a 90 minute count. I don't know what this 90 second horse shit is. Just lastly, the other, what'd you got?
Just that have you guys tried screaming and punching drywall?
No.
No.
Dude, yeah, you got to patch it up, man.
Yeah, you got to live alone.
You got a lot of spackle around?
I used to.
You got a spackle closet?
And actually, there was nothing more fulfilling to me than after a little minor period of rage, the next day I go to Home Depot, I watch some YouTube videos, and then 6 hours later, I got a perfectly patched up.
You're
lucky you didn't hit a fucking 2x4. You'll break your fucking wrist.
Been there, brother.
Last time I was on a construction site. I don't know if I've told you guys the story.
You on a construction site.
He wasn't drinking the night before, I can assure you that.
What's going on right
We're
now?
Joking that you don't do manual labor.
Right, it's just bullying, though, is kind of the form that it's in. You're still laughing it up. Crazy
because you're so funny, Dylan.
My dad is a master carpenter. Okay, I spent plenty of time on construction sites in Craig County, Virginia, and yes, I am a disappointment in his eyes. But last time I was on a construction set, we were both up on scaffolding, and we had a nail gun that was hooked up to a compressor, and the hose was hung on a 2x4, so it was swinging, so he could swing it to me, I could swing it to him. He goes, "Hey, swing that over." And I threw it a little bit too hard. It flew right past him and sank into this drywall. Just a nail gun right into the drywall. And my dad was like, "God damn it. This is what happens when you marry a Jewish woman. You create
this
fucking useless children."
No, that's not true. I think the combination of the Appalachian mountain man and your Yenta Jewish New York mother have created something the world has never seen, and your success be derived from what you were born from.
The only way those two hooked up and had two children with each
yes,
other,
it is.
They had to be both very, very good looking and both partying a lot back in the 70s.
Yeah, a lot
and
of
80s.
Cocaine. A lot of cocaine.
And I want to say that Dylan jokes that his dad thinks he's a disappointment, whereas there is no bigger envy in his father's life than Dylan finding a path in his creative endeavor.
Peter likes all our photos and podcasts and all that. He's a big fan of.
He's a baby barnacle. Yeah, yeah. He's a baby bird.
Maybe we'll
have
Dad call into an APS. And tell some Vietnam stories. Yeah. You can talk about tripwires and whatnot. All right, this is another podcast show. In case you are not familiar, my name is Dylan. I'm saddled up next to one real Nicholas Davis.
What's going on, everybody?
Pat, producer of the podcast over there behind my glasses.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Dylan, what show is this going to be? Because we're giving one of these free.
This
is the free one.
This is a free one. So
if you like this, give us money.
If you like it, you want to hear one more week or Below Deck, Housewives recaps, go on over to Patreon.com.
Three shows for free on the $5 tier.
Yeah, we got to... people are not deserving of that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it off mic.
I already talked about it in our last show. It was a misstep, bro.
So, shut your dumb mouth. Today is not the day.
Right, leave him alone, Nick.
So, we have a lot of stuff to get into. This is the show where we gab and goof. For those not familiar, I have a segment called Dilly Dallying. I have a little bit of time on my hands. I like to fuck with people that fuck with others. So that's what I've brought to the proceedings this evening. Nick, what do you got?
First of all, I love your new tagline. I fuck with people who fuck with others.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're the Robin Hood
of time wasting. Yeah.
But, except you give back time, so I don't know if it works exactly. But anyways, I have a TikTok trend that I'm actually kind of regretting it to bring it on this particular day because the whole segment is supposed to make Dylan irate. TikTok trend that will
It'll
work
episode.
Especially well today. And I was ridiculed by two teenage girls today in Chipotle that said they saw my mullet and they said, "I see everyone on Sunset has one of those." And they started giggling at me. And I felt the first time I wanted to kill a little girl.
Dylan, they're talking about you. That means you're cool, dude.
Okay, Pat. No, it means I got on a trend too late. I'm going through a fucking identity crisis because I hate our fans. I shaved my head into a mullet. Pat, what do you got?
Well, Nikki's going to go before. Didn't you just throw
No, I'm just saying, what do you got?
I already said what I got.
No, you're going first.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm here.
Okay. Calm down. All right.
It's making for great pop.
I'm going to do a little nugget of PMZ. Show the audience what I do on the $5 thing.
Tiny little mini PMZ. What do you got?
The $10 thing, though.
Oh, yeah. It's $10. Sorry, I lied to you. It's actually $10. Yeah.
It's double what you said.
But this probably isn't going to be good to be worthy of $10. So I'll just say hop on over and pay $5. You'll get pieces of this.
Got it. There.
All right. I'd love to give an update on my two least favorite people.
Brian Austin Green.
No, I like him. I feel bad for him.
Machine Gun Kelly.
I can't stand him. He could have made this list, but not this week.
Adolf Hitler.
I'm obviously not a fan.
Okay.
All right. No, it's Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, got it.
And Tom Hanks' biggest bomb. It wasn't that film with Julia Roberts where she was a teacher and he went back to school. That was a horrible film. I can't even remember the name. His biggest bomb is Chet. Chad Hanks.
Got it. Yeah.
So we're going to catch up with them.
Yeah. Hilarious line there that you really stuck it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, people always ask me like, hey, Pat, why all the hate? Dylan's angry enough on the show. We don't need two of you curmudgeons up there just doing a whole negative thing about what you don't like all the time. Forgive me.
Sure.
But I'm going to tell you why I can't stand these two people.
Right.
They're fake. They're not who they say they are.
What's fake about Chet Hanks?
Well, okay. Well, all right. So this is what I'll say about
Chet. Because he acts like he's from
pretending.
Watts?
He doesn't know what he wants to be, but he's pretending to be black.
Right.
Okay, which we didn't like when Rachel Desital did it. And I certainly don't like it. He does it.
So Chet Hanks went to Buckley, but he pretends like he grew up in Kingston.
Well, yeah, if the audience hasn't heard an episode or maybe you're new, I've been really following Chet recently. This is just a clip of Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson's son. This is just a clip of him talking.
I love how you disparage their parenting with every breath. And it deservedly so. They fucked up. This is not good. This is a mistake.
This is Chet.
Hey, yo, listen. Me track one big tune right now upon SoundCloud. Link in bio. Go listen now. Big tune. Make the thing go up. Up like seven. Up, up, up.
What?
But go listen now. Big tune. Stream.
All right, here, pause it. Look at the poor sad sack that has to sit next to him like this is normal.
What is going on? You know, like Andy Kaufman committed to his act.
Mm-hmm.
People have committed to their persona, and sometimes it's worked. But this is, it's hard to put into words how cringe worthy this is and how just counterproductive it is. I mean, I guess it's working because he's known, but
working, Dylan, you're getting a little ahead of yourself here. Okay, so on a couple podcasts ago, I had watched a video of the making of his not such a hit song, White Boy Summer.
Well, we all watched it. So you forced us.
You want to play a little sample of White Boy Summer? It's a single. He doesn't have a record or anything. This is just
No. He doesn't have a
song.
Full concept album. Yet.
No. Okay, I can talk over it, by the way. So I had surmised that Mommy and Daddy, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, were floating all this.
Right.
All this nonsense, right?
Fuck it. Turn yeah. The beat.
And you guys kind of looked at me sideways, like, there's no way, right?
White boy summer.
So this is what happened. This week, a fan came out. It turns out he's got a GoFundMe, and he's allegedly been DMing fans asking for money. In this particular case, the rapper hit up, can't find the name of the girl. He requested $200 to pay his bills from a fan.
Okay. Can we stop it? Can we?
Sure.
What do you think? Can we stop?
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. Okay. Makes you dumber.
Yeah. So so he's drinking 40s on Venice Beach, chicks with fat asses, you know, all that tight shit.
Things synonymous with white boys.
Yeah. I don't know how he's not getting canceled for this, you know. I understand the Tony Hinchcliffe uproar, but this is almost as bad. You know what I mean?
Well, so get this. So when I was confused by why Tom Hanks isn't coming out, of course he can't come out and speak. Like, my son is coming off like a dumb racist.
He's going to get shot by real... I mean, he's going to get killed by people if he keeps on with this act and then he takes it a step too far in the wrong circle. He's going to be fucking Nipsey Hussle, but nobody's going to shed a tear.
I have a quick story.
And no communities will be healed because of all the work he
did. In 1990, right, exactly. Don't get me wrong, hip hop started in like the late 70s, but by the early 90s and late 80s, white people, all the suburbs of white kids had grabbed onto hip hop culture.
Sure.
Right. So I went to Public Enemy concert in 91 where Run DMC. Flav threw his water on me because I had a broken arm. I couldn't do the wave to wave back.
Well, you weren't supporting him.
So anyway, in 2001, me and my then friend Sean, who's just got out of jail for killing his wife, were driving around in his car. And there's a group of guys and they're like, you know, back in the day when you're in high school, you just get in fights for no reason. Some car starts yelling at the other car and now you're so bored in your small little shit kicker town. Now everyone's got to get out of their cars and you got to start punching each other for no reason.
Well, I've seen Good Will Hunting.
Oh, is that happening in that film?
Miss LaGailey would step in and hand out a double star slip before that happened at Campbell Hall.
Sean yells out the car and there's a group of guys and Sean says, "Are you ready?" Which means he's going to turn the car around and now we're going to start rumbling with this group of other kids, right?
Yeah.
So I look down at my feet. I didn't have any shoes because we'd just gone to a pond to go swimming or a lake or something. Yeah. I go, "I got no shoes on, Sean." He goes, "That's all right. You can still fight." I said, "No problem."
Nah, you can't fight with no shoes.
We get out of the car in the park, like a McDonald's parking lot. There's like five kids and there's one kid that he's holding something in his hands. So we walk up, "You ready to go, motherfucker?" All this stupid shit that boys do, high schoolers with nothing, no future.
Yeah,
"Well, fuck you. Yeah, fuck you. Well, fuck you. Well, fuck you." Well, this one white kid pulls out a gun, says, "Fuck you." And he walks right up to me and holds the gun to my head.
Oh, okay.
I have visions of someone doing that to me. I go, "Shoot me, motherfucker."
Not me. I was like a comedian. I said, "Hey, there's no problem here. I'm out of here."
Like a comedian?
Well, I'm trying to de-escalate.
"Hey, how you guys doing here? Everybody having a good time?"
So get this. So as we're backing away, something happens where it snaps into focus. This face looks familiar to me. And I'm backing up and he's the kid with the gun.
"Is this Chet Hanks?"
I said,
"Ethan Goldstein?"
No, I said, "Probably if you know an Ethan Goldstein."
He's from Campbell.
I said, "John John." And he says, "PJ," because that's what my friends in back home call me.
Right.
Our mothers were best friends. They worked at the same restaurant as waitresses. And in the summer, they used to take me and John John as five-year-olds up to Hampton Beach. We'd spent it there like 5 years in a row. John John was a friend.
Right.
Right there, it all stops. PJ, John, hey, I know this fucking guy. We all go there. We drink the night away. We got some old guy to buy us 40s. We parted our dicks off.
Yeah.
End of story.
Did you call the police?
No. We're all friends. Turns out he was trying to be black then too, very much like Chet. Let me just bring this around.
Kingston.
3 months later, John John made the mistake of pulling a gun on another group of people that were not as friendly as I.
Yeah.
And, they took the gun and actually beat him over the head with it almost to death.
Yeah.
I don't think John John ever pulled that gun out again. I wonder what he's doing now.
Yeah, John John isn't going to be afforded the lucky coincidence of swapping taffy over the summers with everybody he pulls a gun on, you know?
Right.
So, Chet, keep it up. You're going to get your fucking brains blown out. And who knows? Maybe Tom Hanks will finally be at peace when that happens. Maybe the world will be at peace when that happens because this guy needs to go away.
I mean, Dylan, on what's that show on A&E where all the drug addicts, Intervention?
Yeah.
Parents sometimes, they just say, "I think my son would just be better if he just fell asleep and never woke up."
100%.
Yes, Tom Hanks is thinking that.
Yeah.
All right, now my second least favorite person. She made an announcement today, Ellen DeGeneres.
Tiny PMZ.
Now, as I started this segment, I said, I don't like these people because they're fake. They're being someone else and it's affecting other people.
Yeah.
Ellen DeGeneres has been hosting the Ellen DeGeneres show for 18 years.
Today
she announced that she will no longer be hosting. She's going to be wrapping
up.
She had
a very, very demure face. She looked very, very...
You saw the announcement.
She was busted up about it.
Oh, sure she was. Well, for those people that haven't lived in LA, I've lived here 20 years and I've worked in various aspects of production. Ellen DeGeneres has come up probably a handful of times, just her name. And you're like, "Oh, you work on that show or you used to work on this." Whenever her name came up, it would be, she's a monster. People that worked with her, new people that worked with her. And even when we worked with Adam Carolla, there were certain guests that would talk about it. It's been in the ether for a very long time. But Middle America, you know, the filthy, yucky normies that have been fans of hers during the daytime talk show.
They eat spaghetti with chili and they don't know that Ellen is allowing her producers to shove their cocks in interns' mouths. And she's not doing anything because she doesn't support women.
This and make people chew gum before they come in her office because she's very sensitive to smell.
Well, I agree with her there.
Well, anyway, she's been a horrible person. But she pretended to be as sweet as pie, and yet she was a mean, nasty witch to everyone.
She would make people walk on glass if they made mistakes.
I mean, you famously played the one scene where she derided a audience member who tried to grab two things of swag, two keychains or something. Did you not?
I don't remember that, but that sounds... I'll tell you this. There is footage of her when they go to break. And you think, oh, the happy dancing Ellen, when they go to commercial, she's going to go and talk to, you know, the two, the fat couple from Wisconsin in the second row.
Yeah.
She doesn't. She turns off like a cold reptile, does her little producing meeting or something. And then the lights turn back on and hey, the party's here. The music's bouncing. That's not Ellen.
Yeah. They during break, she walks up to one of the people in the front row and she just asks how much they make annually and then just laughs in their face. And then when the tallies turn back on, everybody's really, really happy except for that couple that are just like forlorn, just like looking off on the horizon.
They're confused. My mother went to go see her. She was pissed because she was expecting one big, a nice gift like a car or something that. It was a Nicole Simpson CD. My mom was very disappointed. Anyway,
what did you want to say?
Just that literally just yesterday, Jules told me a story. She went to the Ellen DeGeneres show with friends who like one was a massive, massive fan.
What?
Who literally left in tears seeing how Ellen reacted during those
is that right
breaks. Yeah. Yes, like just could not believe it that her hero
never she's phony baloney
never this, fucking meet him
never meet your heroes. That is true. All right, so this was her statement today, and this is very interesting.
I like Norm
because I have a take on it.
I met Norm.
Here's the quote of Ellen about why she doesn't want to do the show anymore. When you're a creative person, a little humble brag there, Ellen, you constantly need to be challenged. Mm-hmm. And as great as this show is and as fun it is, I'm not challenged by it anymore. Sure. But what, Ellen's game night does the stimulation?
I would argue that it's the biggest challenge she's ever been met with in her entire career. She's hated by everyone and really has to turn the tides of public opinion and actually convince people that she's a nice person, even though she's a fucking demon with blue eyes and blonde hair.
It truly
sounds a huge challenge.
Her Everest is being polite and smiling.
Right.
It's the toughest thing she'll ever face.
Yeah, so she's a quitter.
Well, she says she's leaving on her terms. She's not a quitter, Dylan. The viewership has dropped 1.1 million viewers from 2019.
Love it.
So that's a 50% drop off in a year and a half.
Yeah.
So perhaps the network wasn't crazy about paying her for another year of low ratings. You know, 1 million people watching your show. There's podcasts that we work with that get almost half that. And they're not Ellen DeGeneres.
Right. And it costs significantly less.
Almost nothing. Quite honestly, turning on a microphone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yes.
And also, you know, it's this. I hope we talk about Chrissy Teigen in PMZ or maybe an episode coming up because, you know, one of my least favorite people on planet Earth, because much like your friend, I had a shocking kind of curtain peeled back on Oz moment where I loved Chrissy Teigen and then I realized that she was a fame whore and a filthy bitch, you know, and she's getting canceled now. So it's this thing where be careful how, you know, how raucous you get with your pitchforks and your tiki torches.
Because they'll come for you.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You are not immune to this. You're in the middle of the herd. You're a very easy target. They'll turn around and stab you in the fucking throat with a trident.
Nicky,
what do you got?
I'm going to make Dylan furious.
All right.
This is a new TikTok trend that honestly, like, I bet if you just watched it, you'd be like, oh, this is something that Nick is probably into.
Yeah.
And I'm not. I'm actually disgusted by it. It's a trend of white women with marble kitchen islands.
Okay. Good start.
Creating concoctions that they deem to be these hilarious or fun treats
okay.
that they make in I don't know. It's horrible.
So it's a culinary thing.
It's a culinary thing. That's why it would make you so furious, because it's really disrespecting the culinary arts.
Yeah.
Let's watch this first one, and I just want to get your reaction, Dylan.
Holy cow.
Okay.
Tell me when to stop.
So go ahead and stop right now. Prego is the sauce being dumped out onto the marble. Prego is essentially ketchup. Shouldn't be used by anybody. Buy canned tomatoes, put them in a pot, and then just cook them down. It'll taste better than this shit. Also, that stuff's giving you cancer. So what am I saying? Go ahead. Keep eating it by the fucking
gallon. Boy, you are negative tonight.
Go ahead.
I used to dip, when I was alone as a young child, I would dip pieces of bread in Prego.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
You eat cold hot dogs. So.
And eat it.
Yep.
You're a raccoon human.
All my friends are coming over. This is the easiest way to make spaghetti for a crowd.
Okay.
She's pulling out a second large jar of Prego and pouring it on her marble kitchen countertop island.
So what is this
fun.
Kind
it's
of...
It's all just right in front of you. You don't have to worry about dishes or a mess or anything like that. It's on your...
Oh. Wow. Those are Costco frozen meatballs.
Oh my gosh. And you just dump it.
Yep. Who's the camera girl? The hype woman.
And you just dump it. At one point, she says... This is how Italians used to do it.
Okay.
Can I say something before Dylan talks? All right. So all this stuff is mashed up on a table. I dare say family style. So all the pigs at the trough can just start pounding away at it. Spaghetti and meatballs is an intimate dish, very much like your coffee. You do not share it. It should not be near another person. Someone's fork should not be near your fork. All this splashing away of all the sauces. So on just on those things, I'm completely against this.
It's tough to put into words how fucked we are.
As people?
Yeah. Specifically American culture, like this has 74,000 views. It's not, you know, blowing the internet up.
Oh, it is blowing the internet up. This is one video of has been everywhere.
So it's just crazy that people, I gotta take some time and think on this. Cause there's something philosophically wrong going on, and it's bigger than just being angry at stupidity. These people are taking the time to do this for, it's just very, very confusing to me.
You know, Dylan, I had this thought, like, you know, every nation where things are going too good for you, it also, we lose our minds. Like in Rome, when there was peace for 100 years, what's the next thing you have? Well, we got to have these huge venues where we have people stab each other and gladiators and cut each other's heads off. We eventually go crazy.
And then they bring in minorities, and then the whole thing goes to shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we need a war, honestly, to stop us from this.
You know, one of the most fascinating interviews I've ever done was I had to speak to a major risk assessor. He would do work for governments all over the world, Fortune 500 companies, and he would essentially assess the risk of new geopolitical or transnational ventures.
I've seen Along Came Polly.
So exactly. So if a real guy. So if a company's going into, let's say Aleppo, he'd be the guy that would go. Just because it's bombed to shit, you probably don't want to start a new H&M there.
Right.
He said that the biggest kind of blemish in American culture is that there's nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just this faint cloud of anxiety. And nothing's really that bad, but we're also not really where we want to be. No one has anything to complain about, really, except for nobody has, a lot of people don't have $1,000 to fix up.
Average checking account balance for Bank of America is $500. That's a little terrifying.
But the Dow's at 35, so the economy's doing great.
Right.
I guess it breeds this kind of shit.
Right.
And I wish I could be more eloquent and furious about this, but it really is a unique kind of mental parasite that is taking over these people.
Dylan, I found myself, you know, this was a year and a half ago before COVID and, you know, a lot of racial unrest. I found myself cooking a frozen meal and being mad at the microwave. And that's when I realized my life was too good.
Yeah. So you have that coupled with fucking Chinese malware that is influencing large swaths of culture on the internet, and you have people dumping vats of nacho cheese on their goddamn islands.
Getting ahead of
yourself. Don't forget Machine Gun Kelly.
So, I want to forget Machine Gun Kelly as quick as possible.
From him in that pink microphone.
From the land till I fucking die.
Dylan just got a little bit ahead of himself. I still think it was the wrong day to do this segment because he's so upset. But it's been funny. Your anger is palpable, and you guys actually really make me sad how you think of the world. And I actually
It's not good. Also, I have my second vaccine.
I'm starting
to get a little bit feverish.
Your arm hurt?
Yeah.
Hey Nick,
I think that might be people telling you that they felt feverish.
I want to see the girls. Do we have some girls sit at this trough and start oinking away at that Italian slop?
Yeah. What happened?
No, we're going to skip past that for time's sake, but we're going to move on to another concoction that's just as bad.
Is there a theme where they all do the same jokey kind of shit where they're like, this is the authentic.
Oh, she's going to make nachos.
There's no joke about this. These women are like, this is a treat. This is a hack that I've created and you will watch it. I will get millions of likes and now I have clout.
But they're joking about it in a very kind of base level born in 6.5 months kind of way.
I wish they were, but I think these women, like we've said, all their needs are met. All they have to do is fill their 12 hours at home.
Yeah.
And they see that giant blank canvas of a kitchen block and they start going to town with what's in the fridge.
Let's watch it.
I smell nachos.
Yeah, Pat's favorite food is nachos, so she's now spreading.
She should be doing that with plastic gloves on.
A lot of ground beef, just right.
What?
Okay, hang on already.
Is ground beef supposed to be purple, Dylan?
We got to get to the end of this one.
It's all in here. Yeah, just like that. The more, the better on this. Guacamole is great. That there. Yeah. The salsa, all in here.
Everything's in a can, in a jar. Yeah.
So I had jalapenos for spice, really.
No, she's cute.
She said, I add jalapenos, kind of cute little bewitched nose twitch to really find why she has that. Oh my God.
But we're going to finish this, fellas.
Right. More cheese just all over the top. Ice cream style, just going to blend it up.
Oh no.
Oh, got it. So she's cold stoning it now. And the man filming it is really impressed. He just let out a wow.
It's his husband.
That's good. That's good. So now the most important part, tortilla chips. You just want to kind of
nachos.
It all out and
I know
it. And you get your hands in here.
No!
Just like that.
No! You need the chips. You can't crunch them up.
No.
Wait, Pat.
I'm gonna take this. Looks about ready. We're gonna kind of just pop that out of the top. That's beautiful.
That's a
burnt. You're gonna take your ice cream scooper.
What are you gonna do with an ice cream scooper?
You take a huge thing of nachos, just like you would an ice cream cone, except this, instead of bites of ice cream, you have an entire nacho cone. Just like that.
Blasphemy! Mm-hmm. That's disgusting. No one should eat nachos like that.
All right. So
I did it. I infuriated Dylan.
Yeah.
You got me upset.
Everybody's upset.
So here's the thing. That cuck is the perfect word for that fucking guy.
What are you going to do with the ice cream scooper?
What a who is filming their girlfriend doing this for TikTok and being committed to this bit? Wow.
Someone who wants to get laid later.
Maybe. I don't think he's getting laid later.
Oh,
I think
he wants to watch the black man come over and pound away.
No, he's like, he films this video because it's been a week and a half and they haven't had sex. And then they go to bed that night and she just turns over and goes to sleep. And he goes, what the fuck? That's why he is going to kill himself. And it can't happen quick enough. Jesus Christ, I'm in a dark spot.
He goes, what the fuck? As he takes one last bite into his nacho cone.
All right, so let's just wrap this evening up with.
Did you dilly dally?
Yeah. No. I'm gonna wrap it up with a little dilly dallying right now. All right. So today, before the world decided to begin inconveniencing me at every turn, I was getting ready for the show and felt I haven't fucked with anybody in a while, and A couple of weeks ago, I was over at Nikki's studio. We walked across the street to have a little smoky and to let Chewy take a shit. And I saw one of those flyers crudely stapled to a telephone pole with strips at the bottom with telephone numbers. And it was advertising some type of telemarketing recruitment.
Oh boy.
So I said, why not? You know, show content. Mm-hmm. And I was reaching in my bag today and I saw this little flap and I was like, I haven't called this number yet. So I gave him a ring. And it turns out that it was a company called In-N-Out Builders. You know, the companies that call you in the middle of the day and say that your brother said that you needed some remod work on your kitchen. Have you guys had those calls?
No.
Oh, you haven't had those calls?
Oof, where do they get this list from?
Anybody listening, I hope you guys have experienced this because this is a very common telemarketing scheme nowadays. They call you, they offer consultations. They do it specifically to old people. They tell you it's going to be, you know, 12 grand to redo the island, the cabinets. They give you a 3-week deadline. They stretch it out to 6 months, fuck everything up, take your 12 grand and get out of there.
How am I supposed to make my nacho cones in those 6 months?
Right, exactly.
That's a good point, man.
So I gave them a ring and I recorded the conversation. Let's just take a little listen to me and the recruiter first.
Whoa. Jesus. I feel bad for the poor saps that need a gig and then they take the job and next thing they know, they may not know that they're in this thing where they're shaking down people because they're not going out bidding the work. They're not promising the elderly couple that they're going to get all the permits with the city accomplished. And they may not realize that they're in this web of lies.
Listen to Pat. They were just following orders.
Yeah.
Hasn't that got us in trouble before?
Tell that to the fucking SS officers. Go ahead and unplug the aux for me there, buddy.
Hey, let me, while Dylan's pulling this up, let me tell you what you do to those telemarketers when you think, like, sir, have you thought of refinancing your whatever? You just go, hey, look, I appreciate your time. I respect your time and I'm not going to waste it. Yeah, but sir, thank you very much for your call. And then just hang up. You don't need to let them have it because they're SAG saps. Who wants to sit in a fucking boiler room calling people they don't know, trying to get some commission? It's really sad. So don't really give it to the telemarketers, in my opinion, unless they try and hard sell you.
Well, that's the thing. These particular people, I feel as though in the pamphlet, the welcome package, which is, you know, we serve Uncrustables on Thursdays, but aside from that, you're on your own. It says hard sell the fuck out of people because when you say, no, I don't need it, they just keep going and keep persisting. Mm-hmm. These specific telemarketers that work for these kinds of companies are the biggest dicks.
Dylan, I just
in
want to
telemarketing.
Say, if you want to, if you go through with this and you get hired by these people, make sure those Uncrustables are in the contract though.
Yeah,
they may,
I will.
That could be a bait and switch where the one up front has Uncrustables and then all of a sudden you're left on Thursdays without an Uncrustable.
Yeah, that would be a goddamn fucking nightmare. All right, so here we go.
The house, that's where the office is.
Ventura and Tampa. And what's the office called?
I'll text you the address.
Okay.
And I can do the interview between 2:30, 2 and 2:30.
And how much?
2:30, 2:30.
How much do you guys pay?
It depends on experience and also what we do, bonuses and commissions.
What's like a base
commission
rate,
is a
though?
Bonus scale.
About 600 a week.
600 a week. That's not bad. How many hours a day?
That's 7 hours a day.
That's not bad. And work smart. Yeah, you gotta work smart, not hard. So do you need any construction background whatsoever to ask people if they want home improvement work?
You gotta be able to communicate, talk well, and see if they need any repairs or upgrades to the house. Just ask good questions, take notes.
Got it. And is it going to be illegal to bother people during the middle of the day with this stuff anytime soon?
If it wasn't, then we wouldn't be around. If it was, then we wouldn't be around.
That's a non-answer.
You guys haven't caught any heat, though, so far, right?
No, we're trying to help, bro. All we're trying to do is help people out. They're not signing up for anything.
Got it.
They need us.
They need us.
Where else will they get the job done?
Can you pause it, though? I do... I love this bit, Dylan. I really hope dilly-dallying continues. I will say again, not the perfect day for it to happen. I felt like you could, you were really trying to like.
Yeah. But, all right. So let me tell you something. A scammer.
Hang on. Trying to what?
I don't know. Like, I can, I'm watching a video of Dylan do this, and it's the same rage that I see just lightly suppressed behind you. You want to kill him, but you're like, God, I need show content.
Dylan, are we 100% sure? Like, look, they're cold calling people trying to get them in. They could be working with a construction company where they give them a kickback for any referrals they give with these phone calls that a telemarketer is generating. Are you sure that this is as devious as you've kind of laid it out there?
What you just explained is devious.
Extremely devious. You're allowing them rope for no reason. And I'll get to why I know categorically that they're doing this in 1 second. I told you this was going
to
be five
this guy's
minutes.
By the way, if you don't know what this guy's doing, he's trying to feel you out if you are trying to catch him and take down this
of telemarketing
scam.
You'll find
scam.
Out that he's too stupid to realize that very shortly. Okay. So let's keep listening.
Well, what do you think there? Yeah, we're good people. We'll give estimates. Hey, choose us if you love us.
Okay, cool. Yeah, if you could text me the address, that'd be great. And then what was the company name again?
In-N-Out Builders.
In-N-Out Builders. After the burger stand.
Yeah, kind of like that. We go in, give you an estimate.
There we go out.
Job,
with your money.
Out of your hair.
Okay.
So start enjoying the brand new kitchen because food tastes better in a brand new kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's a salesman right there.
So, phone call went great.
Clearly.
Phone call went great.
I think you're both excited.
You have to go there for an interview.
Dylan, if you go there, you're my hero.
He says, if I go, okay.
I will. What do we got to do?
I mean, what? It's 10 minutes away.
I'll go. I'll be Dylan.
So he sends me the address. And, you know, I wasn't necessarily satisfied with the phone call. So I texted him. I said, thanks, man. To be honest, it sounds like an awesome opportunity and I'm a good talker. So I think I'd be good at the calls to people. I'm in to come interview, but I saw this review that kind of weirded me out about you guys. Now, this is from somebody named Loxley Haynes. They said this company is a ripoff and my suggestion to anyone thinking of using them is to not. Do so at your own peril. I paid them $30,000 to renovate a small kitchen as we grew closer to completion. The owner, Jason Naffo, and his workers were delaying completion. Despite me making multiple calls, they were ignored and never returned. Stay away from these guys and get yourself an actual professional. So I sent this to him. I said, does Jason still own the place? Was this before your time there? Sorry to ask so many questions. I just want to make sure I'm proud of the work I do. He said, wrong place. I said, oh, okay, cool. So what are next steps? I said, I saw this review right underneath it. Can't please everyone. He said, come in for an interview. I said, okay, great. Do I have to wear a mask? He said, yes, a mask. He said, yes, a mask is mandated.
That's comedic genius.
I said, fine, pull my leg. Is there reading materials or literature you want me to brush up on that would help me in the interview? Also, I just found another review. Not sure if it's you guys, and it is from 2017. So I'm assuming you guys have gotten better. Now, this one is from Neil J. He's really outlining the entire scheme here. This guy is Teflon Don, though. He does not acknowledge any review I send. I say again, I just really want to make sure it's a solid place. What time should I come in? He says 2:30 to 3. I said, all right, my wife just told me we're getting our second shot today. Do you have any availability for Friday? He says Friday 11:30. I said, I'll see you then. My name's Dylan. Who should I ask for when I get there? He says Stuart. I say, cool, thanks, Stu. Looking forward to it.
How come you didn't say I'm saddled up next to my friend Real and Nick Davis?
He said, I'll see you Friday. So as you hear this, I will have had my in-person interview with In-N-Out Builders, and we'll see how it goes. I'm definitely going to try to record the entire thing. I'm going to phrase it as, should this not work out, I want to listen back to see where the interview went wrong to help me as a candidate for future employment.
Oh,
that will be your audio recorder, but I also want to try to get some type of visual.
We'll see.
No, it's illegal. Nick, what you guys have to do is be outside nearby and have a safe word for Dylan in case he thinks he's going to be killed.
I'm fine with that, but who cares if it's illegal? It's like the drug dealer coming and saying I was robbed. Like,
right.
What are they going to do?
So we'll see what happens. That, like I said, it was a tease. Dilly Dallying will be back next week, and the part two of In-N-Out Builders will be there. Until then, guys, jump in the ratings and reviews, leave 5 stars, or follow us on Spotify. We really, really need your help, and we'll start incentivizing. You know, we need to get to certain numbers, and you know, good things will come. So 5 stars, kind words, tell your friends, tell your family, steal credit cards, break into Circuit Cities, whatever you need to do.
Just be a good person.
Just be a good person. This world's a beautiful place. I'm Dylan saying goodbye. Nick, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Pat, say goodbye.
Bye.